Now, we're very thankful indeed to see so many attending these meetings every night for the preaching of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We gather every night about 7 o'clock in the bus to pray, and then the gospel is preached at 7:30, tomorrow evening again, and then on the Lord's Day at 7:30 to 8:30 once more, and every night next week, Monday to Friday, the preaching of that gospel of the grace of God, of the Lord will. Now, also on the Lord's Day, the afternoon meeting, the breaking of bread first at 10:30, and then the Bible reading. Our brother Crawford will speak from the book of Genesis concerning Joseph and the Bible reading. And then following the dinner, to which all are welcome, we have the ministry from 2 o'clock, followed by the baptizing of these young people who have desired to follow the Lord. What a joy that will be on the Lord's Day, a day in the courts of the Lord's house. On Saturday, for those who may be interested, Brother Crawford and I are having an all-day meeting in Vancouver at West Richmond, commencing at 3 o'clock and continuing until 5, the first session, and then the dinner in the hall or supper, and then in the evening from 6:30 to 8, the ministry of the precious truths of God. Last night, this wonderful instrument here, which is a compass and a clock and a thermometer all in one, was left behind. It's a dashboard contrivance. Now, if anyone has lost this, I'd like you to claim it. And if you don't claim it, I think I'd claim it myself. But whoever has lost this, we'd like you to have it. Now, shall we read tonight, please, in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 23, once again. You have your testament. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Verse 33 will suffice here tonight for this first reading. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. And I'd like you to think of those lovely words tonight. The place which is called Calvary. Now turn back to Luke chapter 16 for something that is absolutely different. Luke's Gospel chapter 16. Now, the words of the man in hell, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them. And the word here is earnestly testify, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now finally, John chapter 14, the last reading. Gospel by John, chapter 14. Verse 2, the words of the Lord Jesus, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now the Lord will bless the reading of his solemn word to all our hearts tonight. Now while I have departed from my usual manner of preaching from one verse, I have read 3 places here And it would be very, very easy for even the youngest to follow the trend of thought. We have read of three places in these passages. Now you'll notice that the last two that we read take us on beyond time into eternity. The two places that lie beyond life. And they are real places. The Savior said here in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." And we have absolutely no doubt in our mind that heaven is a real place. And then we have read the saddest words likely that were ever uttered by a man who left the world without a Savior. And of course, one of the reasons we are here, that no one who ever comes to our tent will ever leave this world without a Savior. This man has gone over the boundary line. And while I'm preaching here, he is lifting his eyes in a real place. This is not a parable that I have read. It's a real story. And the Lord Jesus knew this man, and he tells us that beyond life, he lifted up his eyes in torment. One of the things he said as he looked back to his father's house was that a messenger would be sent to his five brothers that he had, that they might turn from their evil way and repent of their sin. Earnestly testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So here we have the two places in eternity. There is no third place. I know that religion has added a third place and has added a place in between where some might suffer a while and then be delivered from their sins, but the Bible knows nothing of a third place. There are only two places in eternity. One is heaven, where all is joy and eternal happiness. And the other is a place of endless pain where sinners go. Now let us pause a moment this evening and ask a very simple yet searching question in our gathering. Everyone here is a day's march nearer eternity. And everyone is either nearer heaven tonight, nearer heaven than we have ever been before, or else you're nearer hell where sinners go. If you were to die tonight, and that is possible, the Bible says, "I know not the day of my death." And again, Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. One day brings forth the end of many lives." Even while we sit in the quietness of this tent, there are sinners spending their first moments in the place of torment. They have missed Christ, and they will never be saved. You know, to me, that's the saddest calamity that can befall a human soul. To leave the world suddenly, all ages, all kinds, leaving the world suddenly and going out to discover when it's too late, I have missed the great salvation. And all the tears they shed and all the cries are of no avail. The gulf is fixed and they have landed in the place of torment, never to be saved. Eternal conscious punishment is denied by every false cult in this world. That's one thing they all have, and they are all agreed upon, that there is no eternity of conscious punishment, that there is annihilation, some will say, and others that are at soul sleep, and some that finally all will be delivered, the doctrine of the restitution and the salvation of all is a very common teaching. Every false cult denies the eternal conscious punishment of sinners in the lake of fire for all eternity. Many great doctrines that I love to preach, the doctrines concerning the Lord Jesus. But the hardest of all doctrines to preach is the doctrine of the eternal damnation of sinners. It gives me pain in my heart to have to mention it. It takes sleep from our eyes to have to warn men and women and boys and girls of this terrible doctrine, this true teaching of the Bible. And if it wasn't in the Bible, we would never preach it at all. But there is a hell, a real place of fire and torment, an eternal conscious punishment, and no hope for all eternity, if we could only think of that, to roll on and on and on, endlessly, never to be delivered, lost, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I wonder that you can leave a meeting like this without being saved. And so I've read of the two places in eternity, a place of joy, a place of hope, a place of glory, a place where tears are wiped away, as we heard last night. But then there's a place of torment, and every one of us going to one of those two places. I want to speak just for 5 minutes concerning another place, the place called Calvary. You know, that's the gateway to salvation. The place called Calvary is the place where souls are saved from hell and won for heaven. The gateway to heaven is not a baptismal font. The gateway to heaven is not an ordinance of man or a sacrament. The gateway to heaven is not that I'm a member of any denomination on earth, however traditional it may be. The gateway to heaven is the work that was accomplished at Calvary's cross for you and for me. There's no other place to be saved but at Calvary by faith. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, oh, in the experience of every one of us who are saved, we came to the place which is called Calvary. I have been at the place traditionally that is called Calvary, Gordon's Calvary. But when I was a boy of 19, I came by faith as a lost, guilty sinner to the place called Calvary by faith. Now let me say something about that place. It was a real place. It's the place where the love of God is told out to full extent. I would never have known what God really and truly is in His heart by looking at creation. The things around us that He made tell us that He is a God of power and majesty and a God of order and a God who delights in color and creature. Oh, the wonders of His creation. But I can never learn from stars and sand, from waves and wind, what was in His heart. But as I look at Calvary, I see the very manifestation of the heart of God. When I look upon the dear face of the Son of God, marred and spat upon, who is this that is nailed to that cross? He is God's only Son. The Lord Jesus lingered over this in the parable when He said, having one Son, His well-beloved, He sent them forth. God had only one Son, and in order to our salvation, He gave Him to die upon the tree. That's why I sang that old hymn tonight. There was one who was willing to die in our stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross He was willing to tread, all the sins of our life to forgive. Are you here unsaved tonight? The place called Calvary tells me of the love of God for man. He gave His Son to die as an atonement, to shed His blood, to save our souls from death and hell. The Savior died. When I look at the place called Calvary, not only do I see the love of God, but I see the love of the Lord Jesus. We sing that lovely hymn, the many sorrows that He bore, and oh, the crown of thorns He wore, that I might live forevermore, it's more than tongue can tell. Are you here tonight, young or old, rich or poor? Maybe some of these children that are here, I've been thinking a great deal about these boys and girls that are here. And some of these little ones have been thinking about being saved as well. We would never push a child. I have never made it a practice in my long experience of ever pushing a child or seeking to urge upon them the claims of Christ personally in the impressionable age of their life. But there are children here that are listening to the gospel, and we would like those children, everyone, to come to the Savior that have reached the age of understanding. And although you may only be a little child tonight, I want to tell you that the Savior of the world died for children on Calvary's cross and shed His rich atoning blood that heaven could be your home for time and for all eternity. And all you have to do is believe that on that cross He died for you, that you might be saved. When I was anxious to be saved, I knew I was going to hell. I believed that I would never be in heaven, that I was lost. But that didn't save me. I trembled at the thought of the coming of the Lord, but it didn't save me. But when I came and considered what happened at Calvary, tears filled my eyes. And I realized that the Lord Jesus was willing to die for me, a sinner. And that lovely verse comes to me now. Listen to it. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Hanging upon that cross, with no sin of His own to bear, alone, under the darkened sun at noon, hanging, forsaken by man, and hanging there until at last He cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why didst Thou forsake me? Why was He there? He was there, wounded, and bruised and put to grief in our very place and room, that a soul so unworthy might live. Place called Calvary. Will you come to that place tonight as our brother Crawford continues this gospel meeting? And will you open that heart that has been closed, and those ears that have been deaf? And will you take it in tonight, the beautiful words of Romans 5 and 6? Christ died for the ungodly. May God grant that it may be so, for His name's sake.